You're listening to the 1 Peter 5 Friday Roundup. Hello and welcome. Today is Friday, June 5th, 2015. My name is Steve Skojak, and this is the 1 Peter 5 Friday Roundup, the weekend podcast where we wrap up all of the week's big Catholic stories in the news. Well, in an exclusive interview yesterday with Raymond Arroyo of the EWTN television news program The World Over, Cardinal Walter Kasper walked back his claim that Pope Francis supports his proposal for communion for the divorced and remarried. Here's a clip.
So your proposal was put forward, and it was controversial.
It's, of course, it was.
But you have said, and I'm quoting you, the Pope approved of your proposal. You said clearly this is what he wants. Do you agree with that still, and are you speaking for the Pope?
No, of course, I spoke beforehand with the Pope. It is not a conference, an academic realm. It's an important issue before the cardinals. And he was in favor to open the debate, but not a certain proposal. Mm-hmm. And I did not ask him what he wants, but he wanted to touch the problem and to open the debate. This he wanted. Yeah. And this I did. But then I had the impression he was, more or less he agreed what he said afterwards to the cardinals. It was not against his opinion, but I cannot say that I have now made the proposal of the Pope.
No, because at the time of the Synod, I know there was some reportage where you were saying that you were speaking for the Pope and you understood his mind. Was that an exaggeration, or do you stand
That's
by
an exaggeration. I was expressing his mind in the sense that he wanted to debate about all these problems. He's for openness and for frankness, and he says it does not help to suppress the questions.
But as some of you will no doubt remember, this is not the same story Cardinal Kasper was telling last September as the Synod approached. In fact, he said, quote, "Not one of my fellow cardinals ever spoke to me. I, instead, spoke twice with the Holy Father. I agreed upon everything with him. He was in agreement. What can a cardinal do except be with the Pope? I am not the target. The target is another one." End quote. That other one, by implication, was meant to be understood the Holy Father. Well, Kasper again claimed that Pope Francis knew what he was going to propose and fully approved of his speech, and yet another quote. He said, quote, "They know that I have not done these things by myself. I agreed with the Pope. I spoke twice with him. He showed himself content with the proposal. Now they create this controversy. A cardinal must be close to the Pope, by his side. The cardinals are the Pope's cooperators." End quote. Well, the faithful are left, therefore, to wonder which of these stories is true, and whether any of them are. Kasper has proven himself to be a consistently unreliable person when pressed on statements he makes in the public. This is a story that will no doubt continue to develop as this year's Synod approaches. The president of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, Professor Margaret Archer, has attacked a pro-life organization after it raised the alarm over the Vatican's invitation to two of the world's leading abortion and population control advocates, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and American economist and environmentalist Jeffrey Sachs, to a Vatican conference on climate change. Archer, appointed to her position last year by Pope Francis, said in response to Stefano Generini, director for the Center for Legal Studies at the Center for Family and Human Rights Institute, also known as CFAM, quote, "I am appointed by the Pope and responsible directly to him. I'm afraid that leaves you and your cohort out in the cold." Generini had written about his concerns in a May 29th article in the Catholic journal First Things, where he indicated that he had written to Bishop Marcelo Sanchez Sorondo, Chancellor of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, seeking an explanation for the invitation of these two controversial figures. Sorondo's explanation to Generini was troubling, to say the least. He responded, quote, "Yes, we had these discussions, and as you can see, the draft Sustainable Development Goals don't even mention abortion or population control. They speak of access to family planning and sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights. End quote. Now, as educated Catholics are no doubt aware, terms like family planning and sexual and reproductive health are code words for contraception, sterilization, and abortion. So it seems Generini was completely legitimate in his concerns about why these two individuals were invited and over the bishop's response. Now, Archer, who admitted to inviting Ban Ki-moon and Sachs to the conference, went on to accuse Generini of a concern for human dignity, quote, confined to the period between conception and live birth, end quote, and then asked rhetorically, quote, do you really have a higher moral standard than the Pope? Or is your own minimalistic version of the creed, consisting of the single item, we believe in the ethical depravity of abortion, considered to be an improvement, end quote. Well, the Vatican has announced the date for the Pope's new encyclical on the environment, which will be released on Thursday, June 18th. In a statement, the Vatican said that the unusual advance notice of publication was to, quote, avoid confusion over the date of publication of the long-awaited encyclical, end quote. Well, not a few Catholic commentators expect that the encyclical will endorse controversial science on the subject of climate change. When taken in conjunction with events surrounding the Vatican and its recent conference on climate change, these appear to be reasonable concerns. In May, Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin told the participants in the conference that, quote, when the future of the planet is at stake, there are no political frontiers, barriers, or walls behind which we can hide to protect ourselves from the effects of environmental and social degradation, end quote. He went on to say that he hoped the conference would help find ways in which the world economy could be reoriented to, quote, cultivate two interconnected objectives, combating poverty and easing the effects of climate change, end quote. And finally today, you may remember the video we posted in April. It was entitled, A Letter from the People of the Cross to ISIS. It offered an uplifting, loving, and courageous response to those ISIS members engaged in the slaughter of Christians across the Middle East, offering a message of love, hope, and salvation through conversion to Christianity. Well, the video was a nearly instantaneous viral hit. In fact, just a day after we posted it at 1 Peter 5, it was picked up by Eric Bolling of Fox News' The Five, and then he ran it again a second day. Here's a clip.
Time for one more thing. I'm going to kick it off. Yesterday I mentioned that Christian response to ISIS. I mentioned the website, but here's a little piece of it. Really, really compelling. If you get a chance, go look at it, 1peter5.com. Again, don't necessarily ascribe to the answer or what they're saying. However, it's worthwhile. Very interesting.
But there's a new development to this story. The video was made by a young man named Michael Chang. He's a Los Angeles-based filmmaker who just started a company called The Mighty. And the purpose of the company is making videos like this one, videos that spread the gospel message to audiences that it might not ever reach if it weren't for the power of the internet. Well, Michael contacted me this week, and he told me that YouTube, after hundreds of thousands of views on this video, pulled it down. And the reason that they gave was that it was in violation of their community guidelines. Now, YouTube's community guidelines tend to center around content violations, obscenity, violence, inciting dangerous behavior, those kinds of things. Clearly, anybody who's spent any time on YouTube knows that all of that is readily available. Now, in addition to your run-of-the-mill pornographic material or violent, stupid prank material, people, you know, doing stunts where they get hurt, etc., etc., there are videos of ISIS atrocities available on YouTube, easily accessible, easy to find. Now, some of this content does hide behind a warning that says you must be 18 or older to view it, but all you have to do is click a button, and then you get to watch. So why is it that they removed Michael's video, which is not pornographic, not violent, and does not encourage dangerous behavior, unless you consider the fact that it says that Christians are willing to be martyrs when they die in love for the people that they want to convert? It doesn't make sense. And Michael appealed this, thinking that maybe someone had just flagged the video. Unfortunately, YouTube responded just a couple days later and said this, quote, "After further review of the content, we've decided that your video does violate our community guidelines and have upheld our original decision. We appreciate your understanding." What understanding? There's nothing to understand. This is a positive message. It's a hope-filled message. It's a loving message. And it's a message that was designed specifically to counteract the violent, dangerous, hateful messages being produced by the ISIS propaganda machine. It doesn't make sense that those would continue to exist on the internet, and some of them even on YouTube, but Michael's video would be taken down. Well, Michael is considering next steps, including possibly legal action. But while he's figuring out what to do, the video remains offline. So I wanted to provide a copy of the video right here in this video podcast. Now, bear with me. This is a screen capture that I took of an unofficial copy of the video that exists on Dailymotion. So the motion isn't quite as fluid as the original was. But I wanted to put it here for two reasons. One, because I think it deserves to continue to be shared. And secondly, because I host these video podcasts on YouTube. So let's see how long it takes for YouTube to notice this again and take it down. Maybe we should all start uploading this video to YouTube. Maybe if enough of us did it, I don't know, would it make a statement? It's a powerful and moving video with an incredible message, and I think it deserves to be seen. That's all the time we have for this week's Friday Roundup. Please remember that 1 Peter 5 is a completely reader and listener-supported organization. We are 501c3, and we depend on your tax-deductible contributions. So if you have the ability and you enjoy our work, please donate today at 1peter5.com/donate. You can click the link on this video. You can also click the link at the top of every page of our website, just the little donate tab at the top. Every contribution matters, no matter how small. We could use some big ones right now. We're running pretty short on funds, but God will provide. So thank you for listening, thank you for reading, and we'll see you next week. 1 Peter 5.